Do those crazy guys who walk down the street cursing to themselves, yelling and scaring everybody, do they think that they're the voice of reason? That they're the reasonable people and it's the rest of the world that's crazy?
Pancakes! Pancakes! Pancakes!
I think they probably do. And every time I put out a podcast, that thought is in the back of my mind. Am I just a crazy guy yelling to myself in my closet? And how would I know if I was? I mean, seriously, would you tell me? This is one of the many reasons why I rarely touch on politics. Another reason is that people don't seem to talk about politics. They just yell slogans at one another until somebody's feelings get so hurt that they go home. And this behavior is fueled by a host of pundits and spin masters, soulless ghouls, and other operatives. I'm sick to death of the general election, and it seems to me that everybody has gone a little crazy. But then again, maybe it's just me walking down my own personal sidewalk. But as I look at this mess, I'm amazed at what a fetish we have made of the presidency, and how very primitive and tribal this way of thinking really is. Come on now. It's not like we're electing an emperor. And even if we were, even the most powerful emperor is really only semi-potentiary. So, in an effort to walk down my own little street, bellowing all the sanity I can muster, and to put the grueling madness of an election year and a half behind me, I'm repodcasting one of the earliest episodes of The Shaughnessy, which seems appropriate on this election day. It's called The King of the Lendu. Let's call it the year 1883. It's difficult to know for certain, for the Lendu, that's the angry group of people in the background, have never quite reckoned time the way we do. And now's not a very good time to ask them. You see, they've assembled on important business. Among the Lendu, it is the custom to elect a king. This democratically crowned king settles disputes and presides over tribal councils and the like, but his primary responsibility is quite literally bringing the rain, and thereby ensuring a good harvest. Most of the time, it's nice work. You get to sit around and watch the wheatgrass grow. But unfortunately for King Bob Tob Wob Tabanabtu, we'll just call him Bob, there has been a drought. The Lendu are starving, and based on their woefully incomplete knowledge of meteorology, they're about to do the only thing they know how. Kill their king as a sacrifice to the angry forces of nature, thereby appeasing them and bringing the rain. If you think the Lendu are primitive and superstitious, well, that's an opinion, but if you think they are unique, you are mistaken. The idea that a king or other such plenipotentiary commands the forces of nature itself has a long and rich history. After all, that's literally what plenipotentiary means, everywhere powerful. St. Patrick wrote that among the blessings that attend a just king are fine weather, calm seas, abundant crops, and trees laden with fruit. Closer to home in modern days, the belief that English royalty had the ability to cure scrofula with their touch. Scrofula is an actual disease, every bit as nasty as it sounds, and related to tuberculosis. There is a record of Charles I curing 100 patients at a sitting in 1633 at the Royal Chapel at Holyrood. To his credit, William III rebelled against the practice, refusing to lay hands on the afflicted, all save one, who he reportedly told, "God grant you good health and better sense." But you and I can laugh at these quaint practices of bygone, benighted ages. We have good health, and we have better sense. Or do we? In the middle of the last election and the worst hurricane season in recent memory, MoveOn.org stated that George Bush is to blame for making extreme weather stronger. Really? All by himself. Perhaps Kerry's reign would have been attended by fine weather and calm seas. We may never know. Lest this become a partisan issue, I'll point out that at the opening of the Clinton Library, former President George Bush made the comment that President Clinton had done a very good job with the economy. Really? All by himself. To be sure, while President Clinton was in office, there were abundant crops and trees laden with dot-com fruit. But did he himself leap out of bed in the morning with the superhuman vigor and intelligence required to fuel innovation after innovation? And then a quick breakfast and on with the more mundane business of running a country? I don't know. I wasn't there. Besides, I'm still worried about the unfortunate King Bob of the Lendu. Actually, ex-king of the Lendu. So long, Bob. But to be sure, we're not as superstitious or bloodthirsty as the Lendu. No one's ever assassinated an ex-president. Oh, and there they go. Off to elect another sucker. I mean, king. Enthusiastic people, the Lendu. Nothing if not optimistic. And they get to do this whenever they feel like it. We have to wait until 2008.